Hi, I'm Henry Reinga, President of Christian Leaders Institute, and with me is Professor Steve Elzinga. And years ago when we started Christian Leaders Institute, we were always concerned about reproducible tools for Christian leaders, for influencers, for ministers. And the Lord brought us this incredible resource from Dr. Ed Rules, What is Christianity? We also have Dr. David Fettes, who's teaching in-depth teaching of the book. Mm-hmm. And we have you, an influencer, that is interested in not only learning the basic doctrines of Christianity, but sharing those doctrines with others.
Right, because we're Christian leaders.
Yes, leaders.
Institute and college. So we want to help you become a leader. So as you study this book, as you learn all the different parts of what is Christianity, we want you to be, as you're doing it, thinking about how you use it as a Bible study.
So what we're going to do then is basically, first of all, talk about a Bible study, how it could be used, even before they're taking the class?
Right.
Okay, right. So I mean, in some ways, maybe this should go last.
Yeah, but what reason we debated this,
yeah, we did.
Decided to put it here at the beginning because we want to keep coming back to this whole idea of using it with other people.
Right.
And so we're going to introduce you to all these different ways of thinking about it, but we're going to come back to that, these things, as we get into the class itself.
Well, I'm excited to go over the material. Let's go.
All right. So just a couple of verses to begin with. Joshua 1, verse 8. These are the words that Moses gives a leader, a new leader, Joshua.
So do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
All right. I wanna, the reason I chose that verse is, in a way, a Bible study allows you to meditate on something.
Yes.
And meditation is like going over something and slowing down.
Yeah.
You could read the book.
Yep.
But having a Bible study and looking at questions and getting other people involved actually helps you go over the material over and over again.
Yep.
And that's really what meditation is. The second verse.
Proverbs 12, verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed.
Okay, so this is the whole idea of what a Bible study is.
Yes.
You could just study it on your own, and that is one way to do a Bible study. But getting other people involved is a great way to expand your own insights. A lot of times it's in the discourse with someone else,
right,
that you actually figure out things for yourself.
You know, and that's so true. I have found that in our relationship of now 30 years, over 30 years.
we met when we were five.
Yeah, I know. It's like, that's a good way to think about it. But it's that interaction. I mean, we've studied the Word together. We've studied ministry together. We've studied influencer techniques together on how to spread Christianity more effectively. We've had wonderful mentors. But it's that engagement that actually takes the teachings from the page and really helps us relate it to our life, our leadership, our impact.
So there are several different modes of looking at this material. And one is the personal Bible study. So I mentioned that you could do it with other people, but you could use this book. There's questions for in the beginning, there's questions for all the different topics that Ed Rule
like
goes
more
over.
Like biblical, intellectual, doctrinal.
Yep. Do you understand the material?
Right.
And then at the end, you and your wife wrote some discussion questions that help you think about it, help you apply what you've actually. So you could, instead of just reading the book, I would suggest that you get a notebook and you write down some of the things and write your answers in this notebook. Use it sort of as a personal study. The other way is, number two, as a marriage Bible study.
You know, when Pam and I wrote this, we did this to write it as for us in our marriage. Now, we wrote it with all the Bible studies in mind, but I said to her, be careful. Could it be something you could just do as a couple?
Right.
And so it was written by a husband and wife. there's many questions I had, and Pam said, you know, I would like a question that sort of addresses the marriage a little bit more. Right. I mean, we even dealt with these some controversial issues that Pam and I have looked at over the years of how to relate to same-sex marriage based upon the worldview of Christianity is one man, one woman marriage. Well, how do we relate to that? So in one of the topics, we even dive into that for consideration.
Right. And marriage, that the marriage connection is generally one that people sort of neglect.
Yes.
People do personal things, they do family things, they do small group things. But the marriage, which is, if you are married, it's the most important relationship that you have. That one is often, we're busy, we don't have time. A lot of times we marry our opposites. So one wants to dive deep. The other one wants to go to the shallow end of the pool. And so, but those are the things that make up your marriage.
Right.
And why not? I mean, the most important thing that you have going on in your marriage is Christianity.
Yes.
So why not go through a book that actually tries to dive into what Christianity is all about?
There's actually an entire chapter on issues related to marriage and all that, the biblical worldview of that.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
Okay. So another mode is family Bible study.
Hmm.
So why not? I mean, you know, we did some research back, at least in the United States, the early, you know, maybe 150 years ago,
right.
The state of the church. And we discovered, looking at old churches, that a church was just a big building and no educational
right.
way.
Right, none.
And when we read some of the literature back then, the idea was that the families is the arena.
The program of the church.
Yeah, that the father and the mother were responsible for teaching the kids the doctrines and the Bible. And then the Sunday school movement came in as a means to reach children whose parents didn't go to church. And it wasn't supposed to be for the church kids because the parents were supposed to do it.
Right.
But then eventually Sunday school and the church program took it over. And a lot of times parents neglect to actually train their children in the way they should go.
It's like they delegate it away when they have this great opportunity to be influencers in their home. They pass that off. Now, again, we're not saying that Sunday schools are bad.
No.
We're not saying the church programs are bad. But we're getting to like that influencer Christianity really was very much a home Christianity.
Right. And this book is a great opportunity. I mean, it helps you. It leads you. You may feel inadequate to teach your own children. A lot of parents feel that way. But this book will hold your hand and walk you right through it. And all the questions can relate to your family.
You know, if you're a homeschooling family, this is a perfect curriculum around 12, 13, 14, all the way through high school. It's both 30,000 feet, but it goes deep. A beautiful time for discussion.
All right. So, under that, I wanted to do Deuteronomy 6.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. How does the Word of God get into your heart?
Right.
Impress them on your children. Hmm. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What I love about this verse, these couple of verses, is it's about habits.
Yeah.
And a lot of times as parents, we fail to actually grab hold of our children and lead and try to influence them with Christianity. Not because we don't want to. We want to, but the busyness of life, and we just don't have a habit of it.
Right.
And there's how many lessons in this book?
There is 11 weeks, so 11 lessons. There are 12 Bible studies. One of the lessons will go in two parts. So you really get into the key topics of Christianity and what an awesome opportunity for a family.
Because there's 12, and again, I'm saying this book holds your hand through it, just going through the book will establish habits, which is what Deuteronomy 6 is talking about.
Exactly.
All right, a fourth mode of using this book in a Bible study manner is small group Bible studies.
Hmm. You know, the small groups, are something that are coming back in many manifestations. There are small groups on the internet. There are small groups in churches. There's small groups in your neighborhood. There are small groups in your friend calculations. You know, I have a small group at our my kind of golfing location where some men who like to golf now have a small group studying the Bible.
Right.
So small groups are a beautiful opportunity. And talk about that engagement you talked about earlier where, you know, you and I have had a small group for many, many years. We've included our wives. We've included other leaders of the church. In fact, in some ways, I feel like all I see now are small groups everywhere.
Right. In fact, all of life is really made up of small groups.
Yeah.
Groups of people gathered around a particular purpose. So why not gather a group of people around the most important question there is?
Right.
What is this Christianity thing? And I think people that have church background are interested in this question.
Yeah, they are.
But don't you think people that don't have church background are interested in this question?
This one class has been taken by thousands, tens of thousands of Christian leaders at Christian Leaders Institute, Christian Leaders College. It has been used through the Alliance in licensing, ordination. And new Christians somehow find their way to study because they already feel a call. They take this class. We have got reports that this class has been foundational in launching new believers to really understand what is Christianity. We've seen this class help existing ministers pull it all together. This material written by Dr. Ed Rules was led by the Holy Spirit to really give church, new Christians, Christian leaders an opportunity to understand Christian doctrine in an effective way.
So there's one more mode, and this is a strange one, I suppose.
Sermon.
But sermons.
Yeah.
In some ways, why couldn't you use this book as a sermon series?
It's fascinating that you say that because there are ministers that have been telling me that they already use it and that others are finding ways to create sermon series. And I think that's just an interesting thing to explore in the future. Right. Maybe you ought to do that one of these times in our chapel.
Yes. Yes.
You know, go through the book and then kind of inspire us all.
One chapter and show how it's done.
Yeah, or whatever. We don't want to set expectations too high. We have a lot to do. But the reality is sermons, you know, this gives you that amazing teaching. So you know, and you can even pick some of the passages.
Yeah, right. Well, in your discussion at the end of each chapter, there's some biblical references that you can pick one of those.
Exactly.
It's a timely topic. All right, so basic format.
Hmm.
First of all, read ahead.
Right.
Okay, so, I mean, if you had a study and then you have the book and then no one reads it ahead of time, you know, half your time would be spent reading the thing, or the leader would have to explain it.
Right.
So there's a little bit of homework, and I know sometimes as a leader it's hard to pass on homework, but wouldn't you say the book is rather engaging?
It is. And it's simple, it's concise, non-denominational. When you read it, you actually, oh, that puts it all together. When you get to the Bible study part, it's something that can be shared in a mixed group. It can be shared, again, in the family, personally. But it kind of sort of engages, how does this reflect our lives today?
So you could, in some ways, you could read it at home, whether in your marriage or your family, and discuss it.
Yes.
What if you had a Bible study where everyone in the study did that?
Whoa.
And then you came to the Bible study.
Yeah. Or even back to the idea you did a sermon.
Yeah.
And you have this followed up with a sermon.
Right.
It really engaged Christian literacy everywhere.
And get the whole church literally on the same page.
That's amazing.
That would be awesome. All right. So, quiz time.
Okay.
Quiz time is...
I like this.
As we go through this book, you'll notice that in the chapters, there's particular topics, but the topic is generally headed
by a question.
Yes. And the question then can be used in the Bible study or in your family or in your marriage. You can use that as sort of a quiz. Like,
right. Fun.
What is the role of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
You know, there'd be a question like that.
Right.
And then, you know, the answer's right there.
Right.
But if people, if you had just a 10-minute period in your Bible study for quiz time, then people would pay attention when they're reading because they want to pass the quiz.
Yes. I mean, we all like that. I know we've had a few examples where we went on like a cruise somewhere and then they do this trivia game.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you're out all day and 3 o'clock, that's when it starts.
Right.
And I'm amazed how you and I and our wives, I mean, and these are just whatever topics, but we got to be there at 3 o'clock for our tea and quiz time.
Right.
Why not have that culture be more prevalent in Christianity?
Right. Yeah.
I like it.
All right. Number three, discussion.
Hmm.
So this is the discussion questions that you and your wife wrote at the end of each chapter.
The discussion questions are designed for engagement. They're designed for a little, like looking at the material connected to even local situations. I mentioned before the same-sex issue. That's everywhere right now. And Christianity is facing, how do we engage in that discussion and yet hold to our worldview of one man, one woman marriage? Okay, so how does that work? Mm-hmm. But all the other topics, too, reflect on being an influencer, where you take the material and say, okay, how can we make an impact for Jesus Christ, led by the Holy Spirit, in our communities?
Well, and, you know, what is Christianity? So obviously, all these chapters touch on the basics of life.
That's right.
Christianity is a life thing.
Right.
And in fact, the early Christians were called people of the way.
Yeah.
It's a way of life. So it's very, very, very practical. All right. Proverbs, Bible study dynamics.
There's always dynamics, yes.
And we'll start with the challenges. Proverbs 20, verse 5.
The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out.
Okay, so what I like about that verse is, as it relates to leading Bible studies, as a leader, your job is not to teach.
Right.
As a leader, your job is to draw out what God may be speaking.
So, okay, now that seems counterintuitive to many because, you know, let's go back to our past. Yeah. We come from the Dutch tribe way back, and then our family immigrated to the United States. And I remember growing up that the minister was called the dominie.
Right.
The dominie meant, that's from a Latin word, Lord. And it was very reformational because the dominie was also a lord, just not the government lord. Right. So then over time, but he was expected to be the answer man to many questions. Right. He was often the educated one, and the peasants were not.
Right.
The farmers were not. And so he had a lot of responsibility in those days. But even passed on as a child, we called our minister dominie.
Right.
And my mom and dad expected him to know the answers to questions.
Right. And even today, there is a role for teaching.
Yes.
In your sermons, there's a teaching. If you had a class, there might be a teaching. But a Bible study is a different form of learning where you're trying to draw. A really good leader learns how to draw out stuff from the people involved so that they walk home thinking, that was fun. That was
right. And we talk about it at Christian Leaders Institute and college and that and the Alliance that the minister is the servant leader.
Right.
Not the dominie, not the answer man, not the Lord over everything.
Right.
So really this passage speaks to that, that we draw people out.
Yes.
We serve them that way. That's awesome.
Next. All right. So this is one challenge, is talking too much. Go to the next point. You have the dominator. Go to the next one. The questionator. And number three, the self-absorbinator.
Okay.
So the dominator, the questionator, the self-absorbinator.
Okay, Steve. No. You're making up words here. I see that a little bit. Well, the dominator is not a made up word, but the questionator and the self-absorbinator, that's like, those are like toys.
Yes.
You know, okay.
So dominator, this is what it says, that you have someone in the group that does all the talking, he answers all the questions, he's the first one to say something, and he goes on and on and on and on. and other people don't have a chance to say anything. And right. he answers to every if anyone says something, he comes in and he answers everything, and it's all about that person.
Well, and that could even be you, the leader, if you're not right. careful. You can right. be the dominating you leader. Exactly. Where someone asks a question, you answer it.
Yes. So and we're going to deal with how to deal with that in a little later. So okay. that's one problem. Then there's the questionator. It's okay to have questions, but if you had someone that's asking 1,000 questions, like a little child, right? Yeah. Why this and that? And they dominate, again, with all their questions. I mean, it's good to have a few people have questions, but if one right. person is dominating with that. And then the last one is the self-absorbinator. This is the person who only sees their own thing. They're always bringing up.
You know, for me, I see this as, that type of
Or they make the small group their counseling session. And they bring up everything, and now everyone wants to fix them and help them. Right. And that goes
We're
well.
We're there for you.
Right.
That type of thing. And which we are.
Right.
But it's,
and everyone's kind for the first time, but week after week of that, you know, that's for counseling. This is a small group meeting.
So what you're saying, just real quick here, is that, you know, anything out of balance becomes hurting the small group.
Yes.
So we have to address if one or more take the purpose of the group out of purpose.
Exactly. Okay, but then you can have the opposite problem.
Okay,
so you can talk, you have a group where people are talking too little. Number one, just leave it at number one.
Okay.
Intimidated by knowledgeable members.
Okay.
Okay, so you're in a small group, and either you might be the one because you're the leader,
right?
And you have all the answers, or there might be someone in the group. They're very smart, and everyone can tell. And what happens if they end up saying too much
or look too smart?
Yes. Then the rest are going to stop talking because they're intimidated by that, which relates to the second point. The fear of looking foolish, and then the third point, just people that are naturally shy.
Okay. Right.
So there's a lot of reasons why people don't share in a group. Sometimes they're intimidated. Sometimes that's just their personality.
Right.
Or sometimes they don't want to say the wrong thing, especially new people. And and this class really is a great class for new people. So you don't want them hiding all their questions, because they need to talk about those to come to a fuller understanding of Christianity. Okay, leading a group, best practices.
Okay, here we go.
So Proverbs 20 verse 5, again. Here we go. The purpose of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws it out. Okay, 1 minute response time.
1 minute.
Now, it could be two. You can decide. You can see how it goes. But the point is, some people will just go on and on and on and on, and then others don't have a chance to share.
Right.
If you have an hour Bible study and there's 10 people, that'd be 6 minutes a person.
Right.
Now, if one person's taking 10, 15, 20 minutes, then the rest have 2 minutes or 1 minute. So sometimes it's about getting a rhythm going, and as a leader, you can establish that. You can tell people, look, we're going to try to do 1 minute. I was in Toastmasters, or not Toastmasters, it was the Dale Carnegie.
Yeah, they win for
and anything. Everything we did was a 2 minute speech.
Right.
And I was amazed. At the end of that class, we all knew each other from 2 minute speeches.
Yeah.
You can get it done in 2 minutes.
Right. Now, a point on that, too. You and I understand this, not only because of the Dale Carnegie course, but because of decades of church planting, of ministry. This is a boundary that if you can get this basic down, you can really launch all sorts of learning.
But people need to be taught it. It's
not
a natural thing. Okay. Leader calls on each member, makes order. Okay. So one way to ensure that one person doesn't dominate and that the people that are more shy are reluctant to break into a group. I mean, it's tough. If you have 10 people in a group and you're a little bit shy and people are talking, you have a split 2 second silent period where you have to grab hold of the stage.
Right.
And half the people just will not do that.
No.
And you want their input. You want them engaged. So one way to do it is not to have it a free-for-all.
Right.
But what I often do is just go around the room. Hey, Bonnie, what do you think? Hey, Bill, what do you think? Hey, Jack. And just go around. Now, if you always start with Bonnie, then whatever she said, and then the guy at the end of the line has very little to say because everyone's already said it.
Yes.
So you can go the other way, or you can mix it up.
Yeah. You know, my wife is an example of that. I mean, my wife is brilliant. She's the editor-in-chief around here. But if in a small group, she will just go write notes and everything. She has a lot to say, but she's not just going to speak up unless you ask, hey, Pam, what do you think about this?
Right. And it works. Allow members to pass. So, maybe someone doesn't have much to say and to force them to say something.
Yeah, yeah.
And one good way to do that is that, you know, if I was leading the group with my wife, I would ask her to say pass once in a while.
Right, right.
Model this. Make it so it's okay.
So the ones who pass, who want to pass, and give them the permission to pass and not feel uncomfortable about it. Would you, like, do that passing thing, like, at the beginning? Would you lay a few ground rules out first?
Yes. And you're going to say, all these things. We're going to try to do a minute. We're going to try. All these things we're talking about, I would lay out before them.
Gotcha.
All right.
I want to go back to that one. There we go.
Okay. Number four. As a leader, try not to respond to each member's contribution. Don't be the answer man or a woman. We kind of talked about that already. But it's easy for the leader, you know, okay, Bonnie, what do you think? And then Bonnie says something. You go, you know, Bonnie, and then you have something to say.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's encouraging or whether she brings something up that reminds you of a story.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Bill. And then Bill says something, and then you say something, and
there's almost like one-upsmanship. Yes. You know, so-and-so said this. Then you have to say something, but you create a culture where it's becoming like more, you rode 10 miles to school when you were a kid. Well, we did 15 miles, you know, that types of ideas.
And you become, as a leader, you become the hub that everything turns on. And you want people cross-talking.
Right.
You want Bill to respond to Bonnie and Sue to respond to Bill.
Right.
Have it mixed up rather than everything directed at you.
Interesting.
All right. Number five, establish a time of brainstorming with no evaluation by leader or members.
What do you mean by this? No evaluation?
Well, what happens often in a small group is, especially if you have a mixed group where people that don't know much about what Christianity
is, Christians.
When you ask a question, they're going to respond with what they think. With their limited knowledge, they're going to say some interesting things.
Right.
And so what happens is, say a new person says something and it's not true, or it's not right, or it's wrong, or it's not biblical or something, then Bill, who's been studying the Bible for 25 years, is going to jump in and correct them.
Oh.
And what happens if Bill does that is it tells everybody, if you get it wrong, somebody's going to jump on you and correct you.
That must feel abusive, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, because there's not a heart motive.
Yes.
But to a new Christian, it almost feels like that.
Yeah.
I remember one time we were in Rockford, Illinois. And we were there for some purpose. I don't know what it was. And we heard a new believer being talked to by a longtime believer. And I remember you said, hey, listen to that. So we were doing a little eavesdropping. And because you heard what was going on. And you brought out this idea that new believer must have felt humiliated at the end. Must have felt like she could never grow.
Right.
That she would never be able to get it because that guy just so quickly came off as the answer man.
Right. So that's the problem in Bible studies, even like with a prayer. You know, a good prayer, praise this incredible prayer. He takes the thing off. He does a few loops with it. He lands it perfectly. Then try to get the new person to pray.
Right.
Instead, model something simple and something easily reproducible. And I guess, I have a note here. We'll go to the note. Note, if the leader or members are allowed to correct other members, soon the more intimidated members will stop contributing. If members are allowed to speak freely, over time, the group often comes to the right conclusion. So this is, again, as opposed to like teaching, this is letting the group process work itself out. And even let's say someone says something wrong or not biblical, well, that's interesting, the leader might say.
Right.
He's not saying it's right, but that's interesting. Trust that over time, the group is going to come to the right conclusions. What you want to do is honor that new person for trying.
Right.
Right? He tried to answer it, and he doesn't know much, so he gave the wrong answer.
Recognition here is key, and I've noticed that over the years. So if I recognize, like, only the new believer's first-time journey into, wow, it's amazing, yeah, then that can be damaging, too, if I do that too much. But if I recognize the people who know something, and often the people that know something are your key leaders, you're developing them, so you're trying to develop them more, so it's understandable you're going to do that. But somehow to find that balance where everyone feels great about being there, you know, and again, recognizing people, I've made mistakes early in ministry where all of a sudden somebody, it's a therapeutic thing, and then the Bible study gets taken away by the therapy aspect of it, and I almost give the Bible study away to that theme. This is a doctrinal Bible study. It's a Christian literacy Bible study, and next thing you know, every week it becomes a support group.
Yes. Okay, deal with the dominator, questionator, and self-absorbinator privately.
Ah.
Okay, so, you know, if you have someone taking over and dominating, if you were to confront them in their group,
right,
then everyone gets offended, and then other people worry about you coming down on them.
Yeah, like, wow, look at that leader. Sure.
But if you call afterwards and you said, hey, you know, I probably didn't explain this group very good. Put it on yourself. Don't blame them.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's what we're trying to do, and this is what I'm trying to do. And if you could help me, Bill, that would be awesome. And you could help me by this and this and this. If you could just be more encouraging and say, our goal here is this. We're trying to get, we're going to draw out of people. We want people to grow gradually. And I appreciate all your insight. And, you know, when you speak that, you know, I notice in the Bible study when you have that two-sentence little thing, that's awesome. That if you could do more of that, that would be good.
You know, one of the things that more and more is occurring throughout Christian Leaders Institute, the college, the Alliance, is that leaders that have been trained here, even taking this class, when they recruit a leader, they have them join because it's all free. You take a couple of classes, you take this one, and you actually watch this lecture.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So they see it now, and you don't have to address anything because they've just been trained because they saw this lecture. Ooh, I can't be a dominator.
Yeah.
You know, right?
You didn't say it to
them. I didn't have to say it to them. Right. We said it to them.
Yes.
And of course, they are no dominators. Yeah. Would be anyway.
Right.
So this really helps them.
Right. All right. As the leader, try to verbally encourage participation as much as great answers.
Whoa.
So, again, the tendency of a leader, someone answers the question brilliantly.
Right.
And you go, wow, that was really great. And you do want to encourage that. You want people to be brilliant.
Yeah.
But if you what if someone says something that's not that brilliant and you say nothing?
Right.
See, the goal here is not just brilliant answers, but participation.
Yeah.
And new people that don't know very much, you want them participating. They're going to know more at the 12th week.
Yeah.
So it's a gradual process, and you want them to walk away from the meeting going, I felt like I was part of this.
Yeah.
I felt like I can contribute.
Right.
Because the number one thing that a new person, new to the faith or searching person, what they feel is they don't know anything.
Right.
And that they'll never catch up.
They're not confident. They're not competent. They're not credible in how they understand Christianity. And then they always sort of cow down because they've never really learned.
And they feel like it'll never happen.
No, that's right.
All right, number 8. Don't waste time evaluating, criticizing, and rewriting questions that are less than perfect.
Boy, have we seen that over 30 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, they look at the question. It's a discussion question. They go, well, a question should never be yes or no. Or, you know, or I don't understand what that question is. The reality is, in a group, people will read a question and often misread it anyway. And so what?
Right.
The goal is discussion and talking about it. And if you end up, you know, absorbed with what the question is, what it could be, or what this one word, and if you as a leader model that,
then that's what people are going to spend their time doing.
Those are rookie mistakes as early church planters way back in the 90s. Whenever we criticize something, then we're creating the culture of criticism.
Yes.
Instead of learning and curiosity, yes. It's looking at the question of this. But then they look at you that way as a leader.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's a very dangerous rookie mistake.
So even when someone in the group says that, this is the perfect time as a leader to say, you know what? Questions are never perfect. What do you get out of it regardless of the question?
Right, exactly. Now, how would you write the question and share with the group how you would write it?
Then all of a sudden it becomes a critical environment. And once you get a critical environment in your small group, nothing productive happens.
We know.
All right. So last words of advice. The goal of leading a Bible study is group participation, not teaching. Okay, so that I guess we've been saying this the whole time. There is a place for teaching, and some teaching can occur, but use it sparingly, because if all of a sudden you go into teacher mode, then that enlivens all the other would-be teachers, and soon we're teaching over each other, and we're competing teachers instead of just participating.
I remember when I learned Christian literacy, they called it catechism back then, and I remember one year we had the guy who was teaching, and it was pretty much just downloading the material. And I remember sitting back in my chair and barely staying awake through the whole thing. Then the next year we had a teacher, and this guy engaged the material. And in fact, at first I thought he didn't know his stuff. I was a little bit like, you know, this guy doesn't even know what he's talking about, because last year's teacher told us all the answers and told us what to write down. This guy, oh, what do you mean by that, Henry? Oh, Vicky, what do you mean by that? And by the end of the year, I was engaged with Christian literacy and learning what does the Bible teach, because I took ownership in wanting to know the answers myself.
Right. So one of the key ways to kind of get into this mode of thinking, when someone asks a question in the group, see, the answer man's going to get the answer.
Right.
And the answer woman. And sometimes you need to do that, but more often, all you need to do is turn it back at them.
Right.
Like I heard you say that. Well, what do you think?
Right. What do you think?
And you know what? Most people... Now you can once in a while get someone, well, I don't know, that's why I asked you. But 9 times out of 10, they will try to answer it. And that's what you want. You
engagement,
want people
conversation.
Trying to, again, it's a process of learning. It's not an automatic learning. And the more you can get people to discover things for themselves, the more it will stick.
That's powerful.
All right. Try to create a culture of acceptance, wonder,
and fun.
So you want acceptance. I mean, everyone is accepted here. We're not going to try to make anyone feel out of... Let's say you had a seeker who doesn't even believe in Christianity, and he might ask some very...
far-out questions.
And ones that might be pushing people.
Right.
But you want that.
Well, and even I noticed, too, like somebody is sort of a new Christian, and then they got into the end time discussion somehow. They read some book. That's the first book they read about Christianity. So now they come to the meeting, and they have an unbalanced understanding of Christianity. But it's all they want to talk about this, and yet you're coming with a Christian literacy class here that basically says, here's the 30,000 view. Look, yes, the future is important, and this book deals with it, but it's one of 11 lessons. It's not the whole thing.
Right.
So, you know, in somehow that those kind of questions come, and as a leader, you have to be aware of how to keep it. Yes, you are accepted here, but here is still what we're talking about.
Right. But you don't want this combative argument, two people all of a sudden arguing about post-mill, pre-mill, all-mill, all these things. So as a leader, you can, you know, all these are very interesting questions, so we're going to get to that, and we're going to explore that. We're not telling you whether to be pre-mill, all-mill, or post-mill.
Right.
Exactly. You know, let's just engage with the broad strokes of what Christianity is.
30,000 view.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. And fun.
Wow, fun.
Yeah,
playground of learning.
If people go to a Bible study and they had a great time,
they come back.
What are the chances? What do they do next week? They come back.
Right.
And so a lot of that fun aspect is where we're not arguing, we're not fighting, someone isn't dominating, all
right.
the things that we're talking about, someone isn't teaching for 15 minutes.
Right.
All these things that we've talked about are what adds to the fun. But as a leader, too, you're creating that culture.
Right.
Where, you know, a joke here, something funny, something
right.
humorous. If you look at people talking anywhere,
right.
within a minute, someone is laughing.
Right.
I don't care where you're on
right.
the corner, you're in the store.
Right. right.
And so humor is part of who God made us to be.
Right.
So allow the natural humor that happens between people to happen. All right. So we come back to this verse.
The purpose of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out.
So that's the goal. So again, as we're giving you this ahead of time before we've gotten into
it. Yeah, I mean, we haven't even started really digging in yet, but we're saying this is something that you must know now.
Right. And so that you can be aware of these things as you're going into the book. So as we go into chapter 1, go into chapter 2, start
the Bible,
thinking
God,
about
origins, all of these subjects.
And by the way, all these subjects are the big questions.
The big ones. Yeah.
That people have.
Yeah.
This isn't, like sometimes people think of doctrine, those dry old doctrine, but
right.
doctrine is really just coming to the Bible and saying, what does the Bible have to say about this incredibly
right.
big topic?
Right. I was talking to a senior pastor of a church of, you know, 15,000 locally and another 30,000 online. And we were just talking, I made a lunch, and I brought this book, What is Christianity, to show him because we just were publishing it. And he looked at this and he goes, you know, this is the age where we've got to go back to the exciting Christian literacy topics again. It's
yes.
needed.
Yes.
Needed now. And you, as a leader, have an opportunity to get it ground and deepened in your own heart as a person of understanding, and then draw people out that they too can understand it. And one more thing is you can invite them to start at CLI as a new believer.
Right.
Hey, you know, if you want to get further in this, who knows? They may become ministers themselves. We don't know how the Holy Spirit
right.
uses
right.
the interaction. Right. So in this class, as you learn, think of who you might invite
right.
to take this class.
Right. Yeah. Why not do it while you're doing it?
Yeah. Reproduce it while you're...
You could be doing this Bible study as you're taking this class.
Right. Exactly.
You don't have to finish the whole thing.
Get your spouse involved. Get your some children involved.
Yeah.
Get your
right.
neighbor involved.
Right. And so when someone asks about later lessons, you just say, well, I haven't looked at that
yet. I love it. I love that. That's conversation. That's
yeah.
fun. That's the playground.
Well, and the more you lower yourself a little bit to the participants' level, the
right.
more they want to contribute.
Right.
And
exactly.
participate.
Well, I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited you're taking this class. I'm excited that you may have the potential to reproduce and influence others through it.